What is expected of a member of Miami Town Church of Christ? 6 weeks ago, we popped open the top of the subject, and I asked you, have you ever asked that question of yourself? Have you ever wondered, what's expected of me as a member of Miami Town Church of Christ? Now today, 6 weeks later, I hope that you will be able to answer that question with confidence. If you've been able to attend the services here, if you've gone online and listened to them and caught up on that. Because our days of sitting in the parking lot and doing donuts are over. All right? Sure, every once in a while we'll get out there, we'll give it a little spin, we'll have some fellowship, we'll enjoy each other, we'll enjoy the inside of the church here, but our idea, where we're headed, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to hit the highway. We're headed for the highway. We're headed for the open road. We are done playing church here. Being a church that just simply exists. A church that has the appearance of being alive but is actually sitting dormant in the kingdom. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about out there doing donuts in the parking lot. I'm talking about churches that don't ever do anything with what they've got inside. Churches that, and from that type of activity, you see a lot of effort exerted, don't you? Yeah? Can I have some head shaking? There's a lot of wear and tear that goes on. But nothing is nothing ever happens. There's nothing to show for it. If you never leave the parking lot, if you never take the knowledge that you have about God's kingdom outside of these walls, outside of this group of people. You know, oftentimes I ask rhetorical questions up here, and I want to set you up for the next couple questions. These next couple questions are not rhetorical questions. What that means is that I expect a clear, understandable, verbal response from you. Let's test this. Do you understand what a clear, understandable, verbal response is? Good. So we can answer these questions, and you guys can encourage me this morning. You can encourage the leadership here. You guys can encourage each other by answering these questions. Do you want to be a church that is active for God's kingdom? Do you want to be a church that allows God to move freely among us? No matter how scary it may be. A little hesitation, but I still had a nice volume on that. During this series, I shared with you an expression that I had learned growing up in North Carolina, an expression that is used when you hear someone winding an engine out. When you hear the sound of a nice 350 sitting underneath the hood of a gray primer early 70s Nova. Why gray primer? Well, because anyone who owns muscle cars knows, gray primer, you're good enough. You spend all your money on the engine and transmission, and whatever you got left, you sink into the rear end so it can handle that power. That's why it's gray primered. And you'd hear this sound of an old 8-cylinder engine revving up past the red line just before it shifts, barking the tires, and the gear slams the driver and the passengers into their seats. And when you hear this beautiful sound of rapidly combusting gas slamming down each piston in perfect rhythm, you will every once in a while hear a North Carolinian in a hearty southern accent yell out, "Get it, son!" That's fun to say. Say that with me. "Get it, son!" I taught my son how to say that this week. I just thought it would be fun. You have to ask him about that. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I do have to share with you. First service, I had a 76-year-old lady leave the auditorium here, and as she shook my hand, she said, "That's not the best sound in the world." And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "The best sound is a quad on the desert out west." I was like, "You got me there. I've never been there, but that sounds like it sure would be fun." You know, imagine. There's that word. Remember I told you I use that word. Imagine God as he looks down on us as a church that gets it. Not only that gets it, but is getting it. Is willing to allow him to move freely. That's willing to wind it out. To turn it up. To push it to the limits. to open it up. But imagine God in his best southern accent calling down to us, "Get it, son." Well, I like the sounds of that. I do. And then let's take a look at what it's going to take. This morning, what I want to do is I just want to compound everything that we've learned so far in these 6 weeks. So we're going to take a kind of a hearty review here. This whole series, we've been illustrating this idea of movement, of moving forward, of going ahead, by having each question of each Sunday printed on the backside of my license plate of my car to help us understand, hey guys, we are moving forward. We're going forward. And each of these questions have involved a part of our English language that's called a preposition. And we have illustrated these prepositions by the use of stuffed bunnies. I brought a few extra just in case we didn't have enough out here. And each week we've illustrated these prepositions because a preposition is anything a bunny can be in relation to a log. So we asked our first question, the question of first importance, the question that we have to answer before we can answer any of the other questions. And that first week we asked, are you in? Are you in the kingdom? Have you taken hold of that free gift of salvation that has been offered to you by God? Have you reached out and received it? And that week we looked at just a whole slew of scriptures on what God has told us that we need to do to receive this gift that has been offered to us. Not things that are done to earn it, but things that we do to receive it. It is by Jesus Christ that we are saved. And we learn about Jesus Christ through the gospel, so the gospel is involved in our salvation as well. But even though it is laid out for us in the gospel, we still have to accept it by faith. We have to accept this grace by faith. And so we must believe by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he has the ability and is willing to save you? If so, then you progress on and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him. Also confess your need for him in your life and your allegiance to him as a devoted follower, a disciple. Be baptized. Repent and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is needed for many things in our walk with Christ. But one thing in particular that's related to this subject of salvation is constant cleaning and renewing. That constant cleaning and renewing that God's Holy Spirit does in you as you allow him more access to your life, as you continually allow him to take you over, and then to stand firm until the end. And then in the end, when either Christ comes or when we die, then we will be able to say with certainty, with finality, I am in. I am in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? If you have not made this decision yet, this information was presented to you 6 weeks ago. You've had a chance to think about it. You've had a chance to let it sink in. You've had a chance to go back to the internet and listen to it again. This morning, you've heard it recapped. In about 25 minutes, we will have an invitation song. And during that song, I want you, the people here want you, God wants you to come forward and act on your decisions. Act on what you've learned. So you got 25 more minutes to think about it, about what you're going to do there. And if there's anything in that list of scriptures that we just looked through, if there's anything there that you're missing, we can get that done today. Are you in the kingdom? Well, then as we continued looking into this subject about being in, we realized that this all these scriptures we looked at about receiving this gift was just the beginning of this journey of being in, and that we are to die when we are baptized into Christ, but that's not the only death. We are to keep dying. We are to sacrifice our bodies as we continue to climb up on the altar and we die and we die and we die again and again and again as a living sacrifice. For this is how we are renewed and we experience rebirth, because we are dying with Christ. If we die with Christ, then we live with him. We live in him. We remain in him. We must place our allegiance to Christ above all things, so much so that our love for Christ makes even our closest and dearest love in our life look like hate Because no other word is strong enough to describe that gap that separates the difference between our love for our spouse, for our children, for our parents, and how much greater that love is for Jesus Christ. No other word is strong enough to describe that gap. And this love is the love that is necessary to create the dedication that it calls for to remain in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you in? Are you all in? Are you committed to this body of believers? Are you committed to this church? Because if you're going to be a member of Miami Town Church of Christ, we expect you to be in with us, to be in unity. We're going to move forward all together. So I will illustrate this one last time. Are you in? Then we moved on to our next week. And our next question was, are you up? Are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you in a healthy, forward-moving, ever-progressing relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what's needed here. Because we are living stones, part of a living building that is being built up in Christ. You ever wonder why we call buildings buildings? Have you ever looked at the beautiful Cincinnati skyline and looked at all of those structures and said, wow, look at all those builds? That's what they are, isn't it? They're not buildings. They're done. They're already built. They're not building anymore. So when you look at those, I want you to be reminded that it doesn't make sense to call those buildings, but it makes perfect sense to call this a building. This that we are a part of, this living building being built with living stones, a building because it's always growing. It's always being built. God is always building. Not only does God build by adding new living stones, but each living stone is to grow. Each and every one of us should be maturing, should be growing, and this building is building. We are living stones. We are not just another brick in the wall. We do need education. And teachers, you should teach those children. And sometimes I do get pudding if I don't have my meat first. I'm sorry, that's a little Pink Floyd tangent. Let's reel it back in here, all right? Pull it back in. Where do we go? Where do we go off track? We're not just another brick in the wall. We are living stones, and we should be growing. We looked at a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe that most of us, as we looked at this passage, we decided that we did not want to be nearsighted, blind, and forgetful of what Christ did for us on the cross. But rather, we want to be effective and productive in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. So to keep from being the former and to make sure that we are the latter, we learn there are certain qualities that we must have. And it's not that we must only have these qualities, but we must have them in increasing measure. As we looked at that Sunday, here are those qualities: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And so we asked that week, are you up? Are you up? Our third week, we asked the question, are you out? We talked about the importance of being a witness of what God has done in each of our lives. We talked about the fact that not everyone is called to be an evangelist. However, we are all called to be witnesses of what God has done in our life. Not only that, but we have been empowered by God's Holy Spirit in order to be His witnesses. And we have been called to be His witnesses because we each have a story. Every one of us, if God has gotten control of your life, if you are a Christian, you have at least one story, hopefully a lot of stories, about how God has moved in your life, how God has moved your heart, how God has changed you, how God has made in you life-changing differences. And that's your story. And your story is just that. Your story. No one else can share your story like you can share your story. No one else has your story. Your story is unique. And your story contains a very powerful treasure. It contains the message of the gospel of Jesus' salvation that he offers. This glorious message that God has chosen to store in unglorious people. This life-changing message of love and grace that God has placed in us. This treasure that he has placed in us, mere Tupperware. Or in Paul's words, jars of clay. Ordinary containers that contain this just treasured message of life and hope. And so we learned that week that in order to share this, we need to consciously build relationships. We need to expand our circle just a little bit. And we need to build relationships with other people purposefully so that we can tell them exactly why they're wrong and why they need to go to church. No. We build relationships with people purposefully so that we can love on them. So that we can serve them, so that we can share with them tangible love, so that we can be God's hands and God's feet as we love on them. And as we build that relationship through that love and through that service, a door will open for you to be able to share your story of how God has touched your heart and changed your life. So I ask you one more time. Are you out? Are you out? 2 weeks ago, we looked at the preposition beside. Are you beside? Are you one? Are you the one that God has made you because of the individual who you are? And are you one because you have joined the one body, the church? These bunnies all around me, they are a group of bunnies. They are one group. Even these, a little more tightly grouped together, they are one group. But each individual bunny, they're one. Remember talking about this? And so the ones, as they are one group, they are still ones, but they are one group. So the one is one with the group when the one is one with the group. And so the group is one, and yet each individual bunny is one. And we use this to illustrate the importance of discovering that God, who God has made us to be, who God has made each of us to be, and our unique part of this body. And this body needs your part to move at full throttle. But the only way for this body to function the way it should, to be able to function at full throttle, is for your one and 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 that one and this one and this one and that one and your one and your one. All of our ones to be together as one beside each other. As we use the gifts that God has given us, these charismatic gifts, these gifts given by God through grace, these grace-given gifts, as we use these gifts that we have been given as one body to serve others, as each of us as unique individuals have gifts, but we come together and we form one that is serving and working together, that will show others we are one. We have one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. And that Sunday, what we did was we each took a plastic or a paper bowl that day. And in following in Jesus' example, at the Last Supper, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he took on the position of a servant. We took our bowls like Jesus took his bowl, and we wrote in the bottom of our bowls what our gifts are. The gifts that God has given us as a reminder that we need to do what Jesus did. We need to go out and we need to serve others with the gift that God has given us. So I ask you, are you beside? Are you under? Last week we took a look at our structure here at Miami Town Church of Christ. We broke down this triangle. And we looked at this triangle, how God is at the top of the leadership. God is head of the church. Underneath that, the second tier are the elders and the ministerial staff. We work together as a team to lead the church as God leads us. We defined that day what it means to be an elder-directed, staff-led church. And then we finished up the triangle by looking at deacons and church members. And the understanding that no matter where you are on that triangle, if you're an elder or a deacon or a ministerial staff or a church member, anyone on that triangle is expected to follow God's example, to follow Jesus' example, and we are all expected to be servants. We also talked about the general mission statement that we have at our church and the specific vision statement that we have. Those are found on our website. And we asked the question that week, are you under? Stating that we expect you as a member of Miami Town Church of Christ to support the leadership, to support the structure that we have, to support the mission, to support the vision that God has given to our church. That you would be under, not because you were made to be under or forced to be under, but because you willingly want to lift up and support the leadership. Because you willingly want to lift up and support the mission and the vision of our church. Are you under? That brings us to this week. Are you around? Look around me. Look at all these bunnies. They're everywhere, aren't they? There's a guy up on the microphone there. I forgot he got moved there. They're all around. Illustrating that preposition for us. I believe as Christians, we were meant to be together. We were meant to be around each other. We can't be a unified church, a unified group of people all moving forward at the same pace in the same direction if we're not around each other. It just doesn't work that way. So let's take a quick look at a very famous passage in Hebrews chapter 10 that deals with this. You open your Bibles up to Revelation at the end. You can actually turn backwards and find Hebrews pretty easily. Hebrews is kind of your next largest book as you're turning back that way. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading as you're looking for it. You'll want to keep it open through the last part of the message here and kind of glance down at it from time to time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. On first read in our English translation, this might seem like there's three different things that he's saying. We need to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need to not get in the habit of avoiding each other, of giving up on each other, and we need to encourage each other. But as you look at this in the Greek, all three of those, this is like one big sentence. This is one big idea that just has these three different angles to it. But the idea is one idea. And the central idea of this small passage is that there is a reason and a purpose for us all to be around each other on a regular basis. This is how we grow. This is how we are encouraged. This is how we are motivated to be active in God's kingdom. The writer starts this passage off by saying, let us consider. For nine chapters, the Hebrews writer has been talking about how everything's better. This is better because of Jesus. We have this and this is better. We have a better hope. We have this is better. The new covenant's better. Everything's better. Now, let's slow down. Let us consider. What he's saying is let's look closely at this. Let's pay attention to the importance of what I'm about to share. I want you to notice how important this next part is what the author is saying when he says, let us consider. We are to consider how we are to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, a lot of us have read that verse so many times that we've become kind of numb to that word. Look at that word. Spur. You ever thought about that? That's an interesting choice of words, isn't it? That we might spur one another on. When I hear that word, I can hear in my head the chink of the metal on the old dusty cowboy boot of a John Wayne character in the old Western movies. Leather chaps and a 10-gallon hat walking in through the double swinging doors. And you can hear that cowboy coming before he enters those double doors, can't you? Chink, chink, chink. Can you hear it? And this familiar cowboy sound comes from these little wheels with sharp ends, kind of little stars, that are attached to the heels of his boots. These are spurs, and these are used on his horse, sometimes to give direction, most of the time to kick it up a gear, to change gates, to move into the next level, the next gear that a horse has, to run faster. This word that's used, to spur, paroxysmos, that's a big long word for spur, isn't it? The English word's a lot shorter. This is found only in our New Testament two times. It's found here. In the NIV, it's translated to spur. In the NAS, it's translated to stimulate. The other time it's found is back in Acts chapter 15. Some of you who have been through Acts and studied Acts will remember that Paul and Barnabas, two Christians, they had a severe rub with each other. That happened in Acts chapter 15. This word was used to describe this conflict, that they had a sharp disagreement. That was the word that was used here, paroxysmos. A sharp disagreement. This word means to provoke. Its root is based off of the word that means to sharpen. The idea here, it's not a little nudge. It's not a friendly little tap on the shoulder to spur. It's not a light hint. The idea of this word is that it is a prod to help generate movement, either in a different direction for a Christian that's veering the wrong way, or to kick it up a notch, to keep up the pace, to move a little quicker, to grow a little quicker. It is the action of someone using a sharpening tool to sharpen the blade of a knife or a sword so that it can be better conditioned to do its job. Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I once heard a preacher comment on that verse, and he said, sure, iron sharpens iron, but I've never seen it do it without sparks. Well, isn't that true? We need that. We need that here. We need that level of accountability done the right way. This is a very healthy, and it is an important part of us being the church that God wants us to be. We need that level of accountability. We need this strong encouragement to keep up the pace. We need to be able to spur or sharpen each other. In order to be able to spur or sharpen each other to this degree, we need to be close to each other. We must be close to each other because that's the only way that you get permission from each other to poke each other like this. Permission to give each other a little kick when they need it. We need to be close to each other to get that. Some of you might think that you're doing your job already. Here they go, oh, I got this down pat. I got it. I come in every Sunday and I'm poking people left and right. I'm kicking people everywhere I go. I'm doing my job. I got this verse down. You know, you just can't go around poking people without permission. That's just plain rude. Only in intimate relationships do we give others permission to spur or sharpen us. You don't get that level of permission without a relationship. You don't get relationships if you're not around each other. That's why the writer says that we cannot get into the habit of giving up on each other. We cannot get into the habit, that's a double negative, but the best way I can share it, we cannot get into the habit of not meeting together. Our presence in this body is necessary for the health of this body. We need this interaction of being around each other so that we can develop relationships. This level of relationships, this intimacy, this depth in our relationships, so that we can spur each other on to love and good deeds. Now, I do want to share with you, this message is not meant to be a guilt trip to increase Sunday morning attendance. Now, I would love it. I would love for you guys to attend on Sundays. I'd love to see some of you guys more than once or twice a month. But that's not the nature of what I'm trying to share with you here this morning. I'm not saying that you have to attend every event that our church has made available to you. You have to attend Sunday worship, Sunday school, life classes, life groups, the well. Guess who's coming to dinner? Tuesday morning Bible study, men's breakfast, women's retreat, church picnic, men's cornhole, women's scrapbooking. And the list goes on and on. The idea is not to guilt you into attending these events, but rather I would like for you to understand this morning one of the key things that you should be taking away from those events, one of the key reasons why you should be involved, why you should be around. I think you could attend every one of those and still miss the purpose of being around. Take a look at that list. I want you to look at that list, and I want to read a sentence. The environment and atmosphere here at Miami Town Church of Christ is purposefully designed to promote the development of those intimate relationships we were just talking about. Look at that list. Some of you think we just haphazardly throw things around. Doing life together. Now let me say that again. This time I want you to write it in your bulletins. The environment and atmosphere here at MCC is purposefully designed to promote the development of those intimate relationships. We strive to create an atmosphere for you. An environment. We can't make you create intimate relationships. We can't make you show up on Sunday morning. We can't send Shorty to your door Sunday morning. You know, hey, time to go to church. We can't do that. But what we can do as a leadership is we can present an environment, an atmosphere that breeds these intimate relationships if all of us are willing to take part in them. You know, a lot of people look at church and they look at church as just a place to come and sing a few songs to God, listen to a sermon. But I believe God's idea for church is much larger. I believe God's idea for church goes much deeper. I believe His idea for church is much more intimate. I believe it has much more purpose than just those two things. You can watch great preachers on TV. You can listen to them on the radio or on the internet. You can worship God alone in your own bedroom. You can worship God alone as you're driving to work. And all of those activities, I think they're very healthy for us. I participate in each of those activities. And I believe that that's good. That can bring you closer to God. That can help you grow in your relationship with God. But I believe that you miss out on so much if you're not around your brothers and sisters, if you're not around your family, if you're not around each other, if you're not developing those intimate relationships. I believe God has intended for this family, for every church family, to develop deep, intimate relationships with each other. The writer here says that we can't give up meeting together. Can't give up. The word here used for give up is the same word that Jesus used from the cross when he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Forsaken. Give up. The idea here is abandonment. Leaving someone on the side of the road for dead. Just leaving them. Abandonment. Giving up. Forsaking. Deserting them. We cannot give up, abandon, or desert each other. And that's what happens when we're not around. When we're not around each other. We need to develop relationships with each other. Deep, intimate relationships. So that we can pull out the spurs sometimes. And spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So that we can encourage each other. We cannot afford to give up on each other. We need each other's encouragement to be a productive, effective church. This race that we are running, it is way too important. We need each other. Everyone here, everyone in the church computer that attends is a valuable, vital part of this family. So let's consider. Let's consider. Let's think about this. Let's understand the importance of what it means to be able to spur one another on toward good deeds done so that others see the love that God has for them, so that others see God's grace. And let's be careful not to miss out on opportunities where we can build these relationships together so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be encouraged as we eagerly await that day. You'll notice there in verse 25, day is capitalized. It's capitalized because he is talking about the day of judgment. It is important that we are helping each other stay on the right track, because each day that goes by is a day closer to the day of judgment. And we must make the most out of our time here to reach out and be God's hands and God's feet, to be around so we can do this for each other. Are you in? Are you up? Are you out? Are you beside? Are you under? Are you around? Let me read this one last time. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching.